And now Brother Michael Balco of Orlando, Florida, will speak to us once again, and his subject this morning is renderings. Brother Michael.
Thank you, Brother Ed. Dear friends, before we begin our comments, we wanted to say how much we have enjoyed this convention, speaking of Sister Vicki and the boys and myself, and the special season of fellowship and love that we've shared with the Christics in their home. Appreciate that so much. We also wanted to bring the love of my parents, Mike and Marge Balco, who are at home now, having ended their pilgrim trip. We saw them about a day, and then we left to come out here. But of course, they wanted to be remembered too, each and every one of you. We thought we would consider the topic of renderings. Of course, this root word, render, we've heard it spoken a couple of times already today. In the manna text for this July 4th, a closing phrase says that we want to be rendered as one of his jewels. And we wanted to consider a verse from Psalm 56, verse 10, which continues into verse 12. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me. O God, I will render praises unto thee. We render praises unto the Heavenly Father. We thank him for these tender mercies that he has so bountifully bestowed upon us. We thank him for granting us the privilege to know of him, of his ways, to dwell together in his warm love, the tenderness of his character that we have had revealed unto us. It is truly beautiful, and it should touch our hearts and compel us to want to serve him better. And also to render love unto the Heavenly Father. We're told in John 8:42 that love is a true sign of a faith that's firm and strong, deeply rooted. And in 2 Corinthians 15:14, we're told by our Apostle Paul that it is one that compels us to service. The love based on the faith, the trust, compels us to service for the cause of truth and righteousness. We also know that it is this commandment that was given unto us by the mouth of our Lord. He told us to love it with our whole heart, to show forth this love with every facet of our heart. Of course, this applies to each of us, that we can have this love, that we're striving to emulate the love that the Lord had in his life, that perfect love. We're striving each day to get closer to that and to rid our hearts of the things that are displeasing to the Father. We render this love, the words that are brought out in Matthew 22:37, again with our whole heart. We render unto God also the things that are God's. We render this love. We're also told that we should love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with our mind. Of course, in the beauty of the creation, the mind and the heart, of course, are at one. They should be in that perfect picture. They're blended together. This is what leads us through our minds to the sympathetic acts, the deeds that we're striving to do. The things that we're striving to do to show ourselves acceptable unto Him. We're also told, as we have been during this convention, that thou shalt love thy neighbor, thy brother, as thyself. We're striving each day to get the I out of the picture. We're concerned for each other and how we can help each other. To strive to help each other to grow and develop in a way that the Heavenly Father would want us to help, even as He has been such a help to us and a comfort and a consolation in our times of need. In the morning when we arise, our first thought should be of how can I please the Lord today? How can I be helpful to others today? How can I overcome myself? How can I overcome the flesh and its resistance to sacrifice? How can I strive all the more to do these things? My earliest thought should be, what should I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? We've heard those words. Are they just words to us? We've sort of just half listened to them, or we take them into our heart and make them our own. We ask the question, dear Father, how can I be ever watchful, mindful, and prayerful by Thy grace? Let me strive to keep my thoughts pure, my motives pure, my words and my actions pure, that we can be led by that proper spirit. Now, we use self-examination in our lives. Am I doing the things I say I'm doing? Am I living up to my vows? Could I hold back that comment that I just feel so compelled to make? It might not be the right time. Might not be pleasing to the Heavenly Father. Can He guide and direct our words, our thoughts and actions? Yes, He can. But we have to be willing to let Him do these things. He is with us. He knows what is best for us. He will guide and direct us in all aspects. So we want to develop this spirit that we've talked about so many times, the one that wants to please the Lord, to have these thoughts lead us into the proper heart and mind condition. We also want to do the words that are spoken in Psalm 116, included in verses 12 to 18, which we're going to read parts of. Let's begin with verse 5 of this 116th Psalm. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. Verse 12, what should I render unto the Lord? All His benefits toward me. I take this cup of salvation, I call upon the name of the Lord, I pay my vows unto the Most High. Now and in the presence of the Lord's people. Just think about that for a minute. Our worldly friends say, doesn't matter what you do during the week. You know, once free, once saved, that's it. Doesn't matter what kind of life you lead in your business world when the brethren aren't around. But it tells us we have to pay our vows now when we're alone. There's no brethren around, probably in our place of business. Are we the same in conducting ourselves there as we are here in this meeting? Of course, when we walk in the door, it's much easier here to show forth love, to show forth thankfulness. We don't have much antagonism here today against each other. We have love. We have faith. We have trust in each other. Let us show forth that same love and trust at all times. Paying vows unto the Most High God. We do this through our words and our actions. Because we speak the words in verse 16. O Lord, truly I am, I want, I desire to be thy servant. Use me that I can be totally consumed in this work that I have vowed that vow to do. Let us think more of David. Of course, we know that these words that we have spoken have a peculiar significance to spiritual Israel that they could not have had to David. But they do remind us of David's appreciation for God's love, his goodness. They stemmed out of that outgrowth of his heart, a heart that was very appreciative of the good things that he saw that the Heavenly Father was doing. He was grateful for the blessings that were bestowed upon him, that came to him from the Lord. And so much so that his heart cried out in song and words of praise and thanksgiving when he said, "What shall I render unto the Lord? What shall I give in return? What can I make and do for this loving kindness?" His loving kindness. Look at some of the words that David has spoken. We're familiar with the Psalms. He said in Psalm 113 and many other Psalms, "Praise ye the Lord." Psalm 115 begins, "I give thanks unto the Lord." Psalm 107, "His mercy would endureth forever." And in Psalm 96, "I will sing of his name." Because he learned the words to sing of the Father's name. Remember, David would sit up in the hillside, often alone, except for the sheep that were grazing or resting around him. He would look into the heavens. He would declare the glory of the Heavenly Father. He would be moved so much with this emotion that he would just overflow with song and take his harp into his hand. And in Psalm 42, "As the hart would pant for the watered brook, so panteth my soul for thee." Is this our desire, dear brethren? Do we pant after the waters of life? Do we pant after and thirst after and hunger after knowing more of his character, to want to develop and want to grow and want to change, and then to let that pour out of us to those round about us, those in the household of faith and those that we meet in our daily lives? Are we striving to take this cup of salvation, that we would gladly accept whatever experience the Lord might consider necessary for us, even as David did, that we could have a share in the salvation, and we can continue to call upon the name of the Lord to fulfill the solemn vows that we have spoken unto Him, these vows that we renew at the throne of heavenly grace, when we approach Him, when we call Him Father, and He sees our heart, and He knows our heart, and He loves us all the more for that. We do these things with delight. We get down on our knees and we pray to Him with delight. We realize this wonderful communion we have with the Father. It is a joy, it is a privilege. We consider the very life that our Lord led was one of joy, because it was directed by the Heavenly Father. And so is our life, directed by the Father. You know, there is this deep meaning to the child of God in these words that are spoken throughout the Psalms. They began with our Lord Jesus. They were shown to us, revealed unto us. And they have continued to be special words to the children, the sons of God, throughout all the years. We've heard some discourses at this convention from the Psalms. We sang them last night. See how important they are, how rich they are, and how we should consider them jewels and treasures in our lives. We responded to the call to come into joint heirship with the Redeemer, the great head of the church, responded to that call, begotten of the Holy Spirit, received into sonship. These dear ones, and I know you all wish to make a special return for the tender mercies which the Lord has given unto you. Truly we ask, what should I render? What should I render unto the Lord for all of His rich blessings, His mercies, His provisions, His guidance? Apostle Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, by the tender mercies of God, holy, acceptable unto Him, your reasonable service. Certainly this is what we all are striving to do, to render our bodies as service unto Him, as living sacrifices. You know, living, ones that are vibrant, not trotting each step wearily through, but vibrant, living, overflowing, filled with life. The Spirit life, the Holy Spirit, the newness of mind. We've seen it this convention. No matter what shape we are in physically, our minds can be strong. They can continue strong. And when I visited the brother Naroski in the nursing home, he was laying there in bed, couldn't get out of bed. But you know, he could carry on a good spiritual conversation with you. Ask you about what you were studying now. What some comments were from the meeting. That spiritual life was still burning strong. And it certainly was an example unto me. To go forth and strive and to use my time wisely and use the health that I have to serve Him. While I am able. So it is most fitting that we strive in our lives to develop these fruits and graces of the Holy Spirit as we strive to rid ourselves of our shortcomings and weaknesses. That we can be strong spiritually, although our flesh may be weak. We have to make that effort. We want our thoughts and our words to come from this unselfish heart. We're not doing these things from a selfish standpoint, but one of love. One that we see the Father, we know of Him, we trust in Him. We want to praise His name. We want to thank Him, that God, an author of all. And we want to make our calling and election sure. You know, we're working out this in our lives through His grace in this world with all of its problems. I heard a custodian at the place I work in, he was comparing the Heavenly Father, who he thought was one with the Lord, to Confucius. He said they were both pretty good men, but he liked Confucius' sayings better. Of course, I couldn't just stand there and listen to that. And I had to say, how can you say something like this? To compare that only begotten Son of God with a man like that. So we have to take that stand. And we have to use those opportunities to speak forth of His goodness. And speak forth the truth. And to put away the things that the flesh might say, well, I'm a little bit embarrassed. You know, what are they going to think around here if I speak like this? We don't care about that. We're striving to please the Heavenly Father. He'll give us those opportunities. He'll temper those experiences that we can receive a blessing and we can show that these things are the things that we have in our heart. We want to speak them. They're overflowing out of ourselves. We thank Him for all of His divine providences, His overruling in our life's matters. We say the words, I praise Heavenly Father for all the way that He has led me, that He has led me day by day. This wonderful love that the Heavenly Father has for us, He has guided His children in the past. We can think of our brethren in our own ecclesias or as we travel. We can see the Lord's guiding hand in our lives, in their lives. Doesn't it strengthen us? Doesn't it help us to know that the Heavenly Father, in all His grandeur, all His majesty, He's taken a little speck in all the cosmos, the universe, and He has dealt with us, our little specks. And He has done so with that love, with that compassion, as He's reached out and touched our hearts and our minds and our lives. That all the things in our life He is guiding and controlling. Apostle Paul's words again, not one thing hath failed of the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. Paul could see the aspects worked out in the lives of his brethren. He was thankful for them, because he knew the Lord's will was being done. And also in Joshua 23:14, we speak of His unspeakable gifts that were purchased for us. The purchase at the great, dear cost to the Heavenly Father. A dear cost. Risking His Son. So we thankfully take this cup of salvation in our lives. We call upon the Lord for grace to help in time of need. It shows us also another rendering that we do in our lives, another thing that we give. It shows us where our affection should be centered. We've heard it repeated, not on things of this world. Let's look at a verse from Colossians 3:2. We set your affections, your mind, on the things above, not on the things of the earth. And in Matthew 6:33 and also Matthew 22:37, we can repeat those words. Seek those things which are above, where Christ would sit on the right hand of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that thou shalt again love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy being. This is what He is asking us to render unto Him. We've seen the result of those who would set their affections on the transitory nature of worldly affairs. We remember, and I wasn't here then, but during the Depression, people were jumping out of the windows. That's it. There was no hope that they had. Their eyes of understanding were not open. But ours are. We have a hope. We don't have despair. We have joy and peace. So when ties are broken on this earth, maybe friends that we had forsake us, we have to go through persecutions. We know it was going to be that way when we vowed that vow of consecration. Of course, it may touch our heart. but it causes our love to glow upon the altar. These are things that we have vowed to sacrifice. We are granted greater measures of the Holy Spirit and greater blessings as we give up, as we strive to do His will. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken and contrite heart. Sincere sorrow for those that we see in this groaning creation from Psalm 34:18. That we do good unto those that are round about us. As it is brought out, God's love and His precious promises are very sweet to those who indeed are striving to listen to His every thought and word, to study the Scriptures, that we can show ourselves acceptable, to realize that the true blessings come from this at one-ment with Him through His dear Son. We are looking after the choicest treasures that we can find now on this earth. Of course, they're here in the Scriptures. We find them here at the meeting. We find them in quiet moments of meditation, just us and the Lord. We find a key to them in the words of our Lord Jesus that are spoken in John 14. In verse 15 of this John 14th chapter, if a man love me, he keep my commandments. In verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And then what? My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. We keep His commandments, we follow His will, we show forth love. He's always loved us. Always loved His creation. And when He created Adam, He looked, He said, it is good. It is the same in our lives. He loves us, but He wants us to reciprocate that love back to Him, to show it. That's all He's ever wanted really out of the human family. He wants that love, that mutual love. He wanted it out of the nation of Israel. He tried so many times to get that love. Of course, He couldn't force them to have that love. But He wanted them to develop that love, to put their total trust in Him, to just give it back to Him. But no, through that great adversary's wily ways, they were unable to do it. But of course, we can give our total, our all, back to Him. Let us strive to render our affections to the Heavenly Father. Let us also make use of another rendering that we've touched on already, and that is the one of sowing to the Spirit. I can think, on my grandparents' farm, we used to have to go out and sow the seed in the field. Of course, that was kind of the fun part, because all the preparation before you did that was laborious. The plowing, the harrowing, the tilling, the making of the rows, which mine kind of seemed to go like this, and my grandfather has to make me start and do it again. But there is that preparation, that sowing. It takes an effort. At the end of the day, when you're sowing seed after all the things you've done, you're tired. But you feel good knowing that you made the maximum effort that you could. And the Lord was there with you. He provided that cool drink of water during the heat of the day when you were working out in that garden. Because our Heavenly Father is not deceived. He's not mocked. He's watching over us, as it says in Galatians 6, verses 7 to 10. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he soweth to the flesh, he shall reap of the flesh, and he'll reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. He will not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. And we shall have therefore opportunity. Let us do good unto all men, and especially unto the household of faith. Let us do good as we have this opportunity. Let us speak those kind words. Now, the flesh makes it much easier to speak a word that is not so kind. It seems to want to jump out of you. But you know, I saw a man on the television program. He couldn't say thank you. Every time he went to say thank you or please, he would get kind of stuck in his mouth. But we have to push these words out. They're in our heart. We have to use them. Our Heavenly Father wants us to. Thank you, Father. Thank you, brethren, for all the blessings, that cup of refreshment, that word of prayer that you have rendered on behalf of another one. They are so pleasing. You know, they rise up, as we are told, as sweet smelling savors to the Heavenly Father. And he brings them into his nostrils, and it's pleasing to him. It is pleasing that our life is dedicated to him in sacrifice. To sow to the Spirit, we conduct our lives in harmony with God, his divine purposes. We are motivated to do that. And we are motivated to fight against the spirit of fear in James 3:15. The doubt, the discouragement, the anxiety that we spoke in our morning resolve. We can't overcome these things with his help. We want to trust him further. And we want to resist steadfast unto the end. We want our hands to be used in his service, that it can be, as it says in Romans 12:1, holy, acceptable unto him. Our love to comfort all those who mourn, because it is a divine love that comes right from the Heavenly Father. Nothing, Lord, would I withhold. This is what we say to him who has the eyes of understanding open. Behold the glory of the Heavenly Father. And all these things lead up to something else that is part of our rendering. That's obedience. It's all tied into the comments we've made up to this point. It is obedience. It is a manifestation of love, again in John 14, verses 15 on through to 23. Obedience, this manifestation, this outworking of love. Obedience makes it possible to be loyal to the vision that has been given unto us. To do our part. To help each other, to love each other. To do as it says in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore unto God. That we can resist the adversary. Those things that we're fighting against. Because he is powerful. We know he's as a roaring lion in 1 Peter 5:8. Walking about looking for somebody, something to devour. We're on guard each day that we're not getting devoured. Our spirit's not getting devoured or quenched or a little bit lax, but we're keeping it full. Because we're striving to be followers of Christ, to emulate his character, his heart's desire, to be prepared now as much as possible for what is to come tomorrow. We heard it expressed in the testimonies. We do not know what tomorrow holds, but we approach it with joy, knowing that we are totally in his hands. those beautiful scriptures that say that we're under those wings, protected, as a mother would cover her chicks. And we're also lifted up on those wings as wings of eagles. We're flying above the things that we see in the world. We know that they're being worked out, but we're not getting wrapped up in them that they cause us to lose sight of the things that are set before us. Matthew 7:1, we demonstrate in our lives our loyalty to the Heavenly Father. Through His law of love, He has always demonstrated it to us, this loyalty, this trust. We do know that self is our special battleground. We strive to say the things, as Paul said, that we want to say, but we cannot many times. But we want to strive to render this loyalty. We want to render a submission to His will. Another of our renderings. This submission. Submitting to the Father's will. He gave up His strength and power, our Lord did in His life, as He submitted. And we have to also, as we said, be consumed, be used in His service, come what may. I was thinking of some examples of renderings, of course, being from the northeastern part of the United States. I was thinking of coal. When I was growing up, that was a word you heard almost every day. That was the prosperity of the region. Of course, now it's not. They call it the Rust Belt instead of the coal belt and the steel belt. But they bring that, I toured a plant. They bring this coal up the river. They take it into a lab. They sample it. They know what kind of a yield. They're making coke to fire the blast furnaces. They know what they're going to get out of that. They know what byproducts they're going to get out of that. It kind of reminded me of our Lord's plan for us. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what kind of a byproduct He's going to get out of our life. In the church, indeed, the lives of all the church members. That's blessing of all the families of the earth. That's the sampling. They take that coal, they put it in these ovens. Used to be probably as high as this room, maybe 10 feet long. Now they're as big as 4 football fields. They put that coal in there, they bake it, it becomes white hot. It reminds you of the furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Men wear these suits of metal almost to retard the heat that would just take their lives if they opened those doors. They take that coal, they bake it, then it gets put into these railroad cars, twice the size of normal cars. You know what they do then? They pour water in it. They quench it. Deluge that. And all that is, the byproducts are trapped in that steam, and this car is all automated. Rushes down the tracks. It lets that steam out. And that's where the money comes from, where the byproducts. They make paint. And even medicines and plastics and 100 other things from that. But they wanted that coal. When the imperfections, you know, gases and things are trapped in that coal, they're released. That's what it has to be in our lives. It's that shaping through the fiery trials, through the heat, and the water that quenches it and finally releases it all. It's the Holy Spirit. We also have a picture of clay that I was thinking about. We've heard it used before. When clay occurs in the natural state, they might take it out for the pottery in chunks, 50 pounds, 100 pounds. When they take it to the potter shop for the potter to use, he might break off a lump out of that clay. The clay has platelets in it. They're stuck together, but if you just took that lump of clay, you try to make pottery, it would fall apart. The platelets are not aligned. So what does he do? He takes that lump, which might represent the world of mankind. We're pulled out of that lump, out of the world. And he takes that in his hand, and he kneads it. And he puts those platelets all aligned. And that's what he does in our lives. Kneads it, works with us, puts forth the effort. He can see that lump of clay being turned into a work of art, even as the church is being turned into a work of art. It is spun on the wheel, water is added again, the Holy Spirit, that when that is formed, it can be baked in an oven, and it can withstand. If these platelets were not aligned, when it was baked, it would just crumble. See the beautiful pictures that the Heavenly Father has for us in physical things that we can see. The final product of that is the glazing that is put on. A few years ago, maybe some of you sisters were in the ceramics. That was quite big for a while. Maybe it still is. But the glazing went on. That glazing. That's the final protective coat when it's finished. I think that's our new life. The Heavenly Father has worked that work. He has needed us. He has done things. And it's finished. And we are called home. We know of other pictures like that. Brother Panucci, I guess, can attest to how the stones are shaped and chiseled. Another beautiful picture. Out of the millions of people that I've seen driving around Los Angeles or Florida, a few stones have been taken out. They're being polished, they're being shaped, they're being chiseled. A few out of all the ones that live in Europe are being taken out, and then down south and out east. Throughout the years they've been taken, and what's being done? They are being rendered into a condition to be pleasing for all the ages to come. Thinking about that glorious temple. Stones quarried here, stones quarried there, and they're fitted together perfectly in heaven. Fitted together. The brother said in the talk, as you look around, these are the stones that are going to be fitted together with you. And it reminded me of talks earlier. We have to get along with each other now. We have to strive to show compassion and love and understanding now. Because we're going to spend all eternity with each other. If we're going to be linked together then, we better develop some kind of a bond now. And then at the end of that beautiful picture, all of mankind going through that archway of that beautiful temple, up that highway of holiness, into the kingdom, with all of its beautiful joy and love, and all those rich blessings. And it takes so much in our lives to strive to make our calling and election sure. The terms are plain in our life. We've heard them expressed by Brother Ernie. The self-denial, the cross-bearing, the walking in the footsteps, to strive to be a copy of that chief of the corner, that stone that we're fitted all up under. When I was at the Grand Canyon, there was a fireplace as high as this. And it had a huge stone in there. Remind me of our Lord. All were coming up to that stone. And when it fit together, that holds it all beautifully together. And nothing would crumble. And that's been there 100 years. This temple we're developing will be for all eternity. And we know it will stand and it will be so glorious. Because it is put together, the cement that holds it together is this love, this perfect love. Love one another as I have loved you. Again in John 15:12. As I have loved you. Again in John 15:12.